The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, Nancy Grace here. Have you ever Googled yourself, your neighbors, somebody at work, a crush? 57% of Americans admit to keeping an eye on their own online reputation. 46 admit to using the internet to look up somebody from their past. But Google and Facebook, the tip of the iceberg when it comes to finding personal information. There's an innovative new website called Truth Finder. It's now revealing the full scoop on millions of Americans. Truth Finder can search through hundreds of millions of public records in a matter of minutes. Truth Finder members can literally begin searching in seconds for sensitive data like criminal, traffic, arrest records. Before you bring someone new into your life and around the people you care for, your children, consider using Truth Finder. What you find may astound you. Go to truthfinder.com/Nancy right away to start searching. truthfinder.com/Nancy. truthfinder.com/Nancy. Find the truth. Guys, stay with us for a two-hour special on the recently discovered video and audio regarding the death of Shanann, Bella, and Celeste, and killer dad, Chris Watts.
I really want to help you guys. I do. I feel like this whole thing is just going to be crazy regardless of whether I give you my phone or not. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, it's happening. It's going to happen.
Well, the texts reiterate what you've been saying all along, so it's not like...
Well, they do. That's the other thing, too. I mean, that's kind of a good backup. Yeah, I'll give it to them.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. There's reasons why we want everything. It validates things that we know. I'm not going to come out and tell you that if you tell me something today, we'll validate it with your text messages, whether it's the ones
we have now,
or the ones you're going to give us.
Certainly.
I'm not looking at anything else except for the conversations between you and Chris Watts and the phone data between you and Chris Watts' phone for times and dates for those phone calls. And then the content of the text messages that are there. And we'll write that specifically down here. Understand that
I don't want anybody to get some of those texts. Like, they have nothing to do with this case, and they're just like...
Between you and Chris?
Yes, they're just...
So just tell me what you're...
They're just kind of raunchy.
Okay,
like,
well...
I don't need anybody...
Everybody's an adult.
Posted, like...
We're not going to post it.
I don't want the newspapers to get that. That's all I want.
The only ones that we would be looking for, again, is the same kind of questions we're getting to here, is things about his children, things about his wife, the questioning of, did he ever, you know, has he ever said something to you that might indicate... Maybe not then, but now, that there was something like this in his mind. Or you know what we're looking for. I don't need to come out and tell you that.
You are hearing the alleged mistress of killer dad, Chris Watts. And even in light of the fact that his wife, his pregnant wife, and two little girls were found dead, the mom, Shanann Watts, buried in a shallow grave, the two little girls found in vats of oil. As a matter of fact, there are reports the two little girls had to be airlifted in separate planes because their bodies were deemed, quote, combustible, and they couldn't both be on one plane. I'm trying to confirm that. She's still whining about how she doesn't want to hand over her cell phone to investigators because there are, quote, raunchy texts.
I mean, please, I've even told my 11-year-old twins, unless you want it on page 6 of the New York Post, do not put it in writing, and really, don't even say it. If it's something you're ashamed of or something you don't repeat it, just don't say it, for Pete's sake. And she is impeding a homicide investigation because she doesn't want the world to see her raunchy texts like I care about her raunchy texts. Well, in the end, she did not impede the investigation. She handed over the phone. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Now we are learning disturbing video surveillance from Chris Watts, the killer dad, next door neighbor, shows him sweating profusely as he packed his vehicle. We now believe packing his wife and two little girls' bodies in that car. And chilling moments reveal a carefree, calm, cool, collected Chris Watts picking up a breakfast roll just after dumping his daughter's body in a shallow grave and oil tanks. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us this morning. I still don't understand why the state did not seek the death penalty in this case. Joining me right now, Ashley Wilcott, juvenile judge, lawyer, founder of Child Crime Watch on Facebook and ashleywilcott.com. And with me, Private Eye Vincent Hill, author of Playbook to a Murder on Amazon and creator of a podcast, Fall of a Titan. Susan Constantine, renowned deception and body language expert. But now to crimeonline.com investigative reporter Ellen Killoran. Ellen, is it true what we are learning about the next door neighbor's surveillance video? And let me back it up. Is it true the prosecutors went to go meet with the victim, Shanann Watts' parents, and basically convinced them not to seek the death penalty, saying, oh, you know, it'll take years and years to implement, and you don't know if he'll really get it, and even if he's sentenced to death, it may not ever happen? What do you know, Ellen?
Yes, it's true that investigators and members of the defense team did meet with the parents of Shanann Watts, and they did have discussions about whether they could forego the death penalty on this. And I do think that one of the factors was, let's not have a trial. Let's accept the guilty plea and the terms of that plea agreement, so that the family doesn't have to go through a trial, and there's a chance that if it does go to trial, he won't get the death penalty anyway. This way, at least we know he'll be behind bars for the rest of his life.
To Ashley Wilcott, juvenile judge, lawyer, ashleywilcott.com. Ashley, it's not just Shanann Watts. It's the two juveniles in this case, the little children, Bella and Celeste. I mean, I'm not getting into a discussion of death penalty, yes, no, it's good, it's bad. But if you're going to have the death penalty, I would think this would be the case to do it. What do you think, Ashley Wilcott?
No, I completely agree. I'm really torn in this case. I understand from the victim's perspective and the family's perspective, listen, it's a big deal to have to wait to go through a trial, to not know what the verdict's going to be, to not know whether or not jury's going to decide death penalty. But of all cases where it's probably warranted,
but that's true in every case you go to trial with.
But I do think it's significant that in this particular case, the family said, okay, it may be better to go ahead and take it off the table, and let's go ahead and resolve it now and not have to go to trial. But listen, when I think of these victims, and not only the three-year-old, a four-year-old, the wife, and the wife was pregnant, Nancy, let's not forget that. It is absolutely the kind of case that I believe the death penalty should be considered.
Well, we also know that Shanann Watts put up quite the struggle. Her autopsy reports have been released, along with that of the two little girls, Bella and Celeste. All three victims died of asphyxiation. Shanann was brutally strangled with scratch marks all over her neck. Also, we learned that she had patterned abrasions on her neck and the left side of her face and on her body. So she was beaten. She tried to live. She was beaten in the face. killing her and unborn baby boy, Nico. The two girls were smothered, according to the autopsy report. But let's backtrack. In a moment, I'm going to go to deception and body language expert Susan Constantine and Vincent Hill on the video of the next door neighbor that shows him sweating profusely, then coming to the neighbors, having never really had full-blown conversations with them, and telling them over and over and over, three times, as a matter of fact, what he was packing up in his car that day. That's odd. I don't know why I would go tell my neighbor, hey, you know, in your surveillance video where you see me putting those trunks in the car, those are our bags to go on vacation. That's a whole nother can of worms. Let's take a listen to Nicole Kessinger, the girlfriend, the mistress that finally comes forward 2 days after Shania's disappearance, after she read newspaper articles. Listen.
On Tuesday, which would have been the 14th of August, you had read some newspaper articles on the 13th and the 14th regarding this case. You had also had a conversation with Chris at some point during the day on Monday. And on Tuesday, because of what you found, specifically what you said was, and I don't, let me put words in your mouth, but you found out that his wife was pregnant.
Yes.
And you did not know that prior?
No.
And you found that out via the newspaper articles, and that caused you concern?
Well, I just realized that he was lying to me, and I was like, well, if you can lie to me about this, what else are you lying to me about? And it made me realize that maybe his wife was in danger at that point, and it was day two, too, and she still wasn't home.
What did that cause you to do with your phone, though?
Oh, what, when I deleted those? I was just kind of grossed out by him, to be honest with you. I was just like, I don't know what's going on right now, but you just lied to me, and I don't want to see this come over my phone anymore. So I removed it.
So you already said, but you removed text messages?
I deleted all of his stuff because he lied to me. I mean, that's what it was. It was the hurt that made me delete it. And then it was the lie that made me start questioning everything else he'd been telling me for the last few days.
And that's when you decided to come forward?
Yes.
Okay.
Window treatments is one of those terms for something necessary but boring. Your blinds. You don't even think about them unless you move or they break. Well, when they're right, everything in your home looks better. But when they're wrong, everything in your home looks tacky. But let's be honest, taking the time and the effort to pick out and buy blinds sounds expensive, boring, and then think of installing them yourself. Who wants to do that? But Blinds.com makes it really easy for you. Not sure what you want or even where to start? With Blinds.com, you get a free online design consultation. Send them pictures of your home. They send back custom recommendations from a professional for what will work with your color scheme, your furniture, and your specific rooms. They even send you free samples to make sure everything looks as good in person as it does online. And every order gets free shipping. And this is the best part. If you accidentally mismeasure or pick the wrong color, if you mess it up, Blinds.com will remake your blinds for free. Blinds.com makes it really easy for you. There's no excuse to leave up mangled blinds to make your whole home look cheap and tacky. Don't do it. Go to Blinds.com. And now for a limited time, get 20% off everything at Blinds.com when you use promo code Nancy. Repeat, 20% off everything at Blinds.com if you use the promo code Nancy. That's Blinds.com, promo code Nancy for 20% off everything. Faux wood blinds, cellular shades, roller shades, everything. Blinds.com, promo code Nancy. Rules and restrictions do apply.
There's times like I was trying to help him find an apartment, like just for him, not for me, but for him and his kids to get set up. And like there's times where I'm like, well, where's your wife moving to? Like, how close is she going to be to you? You should be within like 30 minutes of your kids. So they're close and like you want close to their school and close to your gym. And like, what's your price range? Like I was helping him get all of this stuff set up and it was like in a very decent manner. And I don't know if all of that is in text. Some of it's probably on the phone. Like at this point, I've talked to him so much that I don't even know which parts are like verbalized and which parts are texted at this point, but we can figure it out.
Okay.
You are hearing the voice of Nicole Kessinger, killer dad Chris Watts' mistress during this time. Joining me right now, in addition to Susan Constantine, Vincent Hill, Ashley Wilcott, also with me is Ellen Killoran, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. You say there are inconsistencies, and isn't it true she has some very unusual computer searches as well?
Well, that's exactly right, Nancy, and the computer searches are what I see as some inconsistencies. As you hear in her discussions with the investigators, she talks about her relationship with Chris as one where he was more serious about her than she was about him. She says repeatedly she encouraged him to try and save his marriage. She said he has such a beautiful family. Why not hold on to this beautiful home? She says repeatedly that she encouraged him to stay married and work on his marriage. But once there was a data review of her phone, it looks like maybe there is some inconsistency. She had spent 2 hours online doing a Google search for wedding dresses.
Is this the same woman that searched for anal sex preparation?
That is correct.
You know, it's funny how you gloss over the hard parts and you make me say them. Okay, in addition to the frothy wedding dress, I'm the one that has to blurt out the anal sex searches. Thanks, Ellen. What else did we find on her searches?
She did a search related to terms marrying your mistress.
Wait. What did you say?
She did a Google search of terms related to the phrase marrying your mistress.
Is it true she did a search on how much she could make if she wrote a book like Amber Fry?
I don't think it was specifically how much can I make if I write a book, but she absolutely was interested, and she did Google searches on Amber Fry and her book deal and whether people hated her.
Okay. Let me remind everybody who is Amber Fry. Amber Fry, I now consider to be a friend, a colleague. Amber Fry was the mistress of Scott Peterson. Amber Fry did not know Scott Peterson was married to a pregnant woman. Amber Fry then cooperated completely with police and actually caught Scott Peterson in damning cell phone conversations, wiretapping him. And as a matter of fact, there was a fear that Peterson would come kill her, but she stuck it out. And she was a star witness at the trial. It turned everything around in the Scott Peterson prosecution in the murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child, Connor. So, you know, here you hear Nicole Kessinger going, wow, I don't want you to find out to release my raunchy texts. Amber Fry put it out there and completely cooperated with police. She volunteered to cooperate with police and was a star witness. She then later wrote a book, and I hope she made a lot of money off that book. God bless her. To Susan Constantine, deception body language expert, I've got to give it to Nicole Kessinger. Without her cooperation, this case may not have cracked the way that it did. But according to Ellen Killoran, there's a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah, there are a lot of inconsistencies. And the thing is that they need to go back and be able to verify the information that she's given them. But for overall, you know, when I'm listening to her, Nancy, there's a lot of truth in what she's saying. So the issue was hard to come over is her lack of emotion. You know, her emotion affect is just completely off. She's very cavalier. Her tone of her voice is really off-putting. And so she really sets herself up for people to really scrutinize her because her personality is shining through about how she, you know, how she sees the entire situation and how detached that she is. The part that bothers me the most is that she's trying to pretend like, hey, I'm coming in, I'm the savior, work things out with your wife, but yet she's kind of like pushing him away, but then kind of motioning to come closer. So she's very manipulative. So I would say for the investigators, they really need to tie this up and then look for congruencies or incongruencies of what she's saying and what she does. That's going to be the key.
We also know, too, cop turned private eye, author of Playbook to a Murder, creator of podcast Fall of a Titan, Vincent Hill. Vincent, we also know that just before her murder, Shanann Watts was actually online trying to find cheap, affordable weekend getaways to patch up her marriage with Chris Watts. Well, hold on, Vincent. I've got to get a woman's viewpoint. Ashley Wilcott, I mean, I feel so bad for her. She's pregnant. She's got the two girls. She started this new job. She's traveling all the time, you know, and if she's looking up online how to find a weekend getaway that she could afford for this piece of crap, Chris Watts, the husband, who's, we know, having the affair with Nicole Kessinger, apparently having another affair with another woman, and they're like in all this kinky sex play role play acting. And here she is online trying to put together their marriage and plan a sexy weekend getaway.
She was shanghaied by this criminal. And what amazes me, you don't know, Nancy, I've heard of so many women who are in this situation. She was the breadwinner. She was busting it. She was caring for her children. She was taking care of the house. And yet she was still focused on him. The other thing I want to say to all ladies listening, trust your gut, because I can tell you right now, I suspect the reason she did that is because she might have had a gut feeling that things were amiss in the marriage. It does not mean she deserved anything that happened to her, but it does mean trust your gut. And instead of saying, hey, let's get a sexy getaway for this to try to fix it or repair it, look at the marriage and see what that person's really doing in the marriage.
Well, you should take a listen to this.
At one point, he told me that they sat down and they talked about it, and he told her that he wanted to either fix things or, like, to try to fix things. And if she didn't want to fix them, then they needed to, like, move forward with the separation and, like, actually file for a divorce at this point was the impression that I got from this and was what he told me. And so he said that she was, like, pretty receptive to just not trying. He was like, she seemed like she just wants me to go. He's like, when she has her mind made up, she has her mind made up, and that's what she wants. And he's like, she doesn't want to try anymore. And he's like, and neither do I really. And he was like, it's done. And he's like, and then the next day, I don't even know what days these were, sometime when he was out there, he told me, we're putting the house up for sale as soon as we get back. And I was like, well, that was quick. And he was like, it's her. She's ready to go. And I was like, okay.
It's the dramatic moment cops confront Chris Watts' mistress after he murdered his pregnant wife and two daughters to start a new life with her.
Why would you wipe out your family to be with me?
The just-released video shows 30-year-old Nicole Kessinger being interrogated.
Did you ever say anything to him about, like...
Never.
Anything about his kids being a problem? Anything about his wife being a problem?
Never. Never. This shocked me just as much as I think it shocked the rest of the world.
She breaks down, sobbing over the gruesome fate of the children, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Celeste.
Ugh, he's so disgusting. I'm so ashamed of him.
Why? How? I don't even understand how you could, like, bring yourself to do that to somebody who's, like, that big.
You are hearing girlfriend Nicole Kessinger, and you are hearing our friend at Inside Edition, Jim Murray, Susan Constantine, deception and body language expert. What do you make of that where Nicole Kessinger, the mistress, breaks down in tears?
Well, it came on very sudden. So that's the one thing that I look for. And also how quickly she recovers after it. So that's what I'm looking at, is that it's not unusual for someone just to break down. But when you listen to her voice, I'm listening for these kind of breaks or pauses in the voice, but I'm not really hearing that. I'm not saying that she does not feel that way. I think that she does. But what bothers me the most is how quickly the onset of that emotion was and then how quick it ended. That bothers me because there should be remnants of it throughout. Once she's finished making that statement, you should still hear her voice still cracking up afterwards. So even though she's emotionally upset, she quickly gets over it awfully fast. That's suspicious to me.
To Ellen Kaloran, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, you mentioned inconsistencies. What other inconsistencies have you discovered, because I think not only was she genuinely upset about the deaths of Bella and Celeste, but also was distancing herself. Because if she had known anything about this murder plot, she would have been roped into doing jail time right now.
Yes. One thing that I want to make clear is that even though there are some inconsistencies in her story, it's also very clear that Chris Watts lied to her. She did not know Shannon Watts was pregnant. And he told her that Shannon was ready to leave the marriage, when that is 100% not true. We see that. However, there's one other instance of the interrogation when Nicole tells police that she never told any of her friends or anyone about her relationship with Chris because it was very early on and he was still, you know, working through a separation. But that ended up not being the case. She did have a text message exchange with a girlfriend about her relationship with Chris, and she called investigators the next day and told them that.
Joining me right now from radaronline.com is Alexis Tereshchuk, investigative reporter. In the last hours, radaronline.com has managed to get a hold of and watch that neighbor surveillance video from just 24 hours before his arrest goes down. Alexis Tereshchuk, thank you for being with us. Please tell me how you guys managed to get a hold of the neighbor surveillance video and what does it show?
So we had to file a FOIA request with the county, Weld County in Colorado. They have,
you just ran through that, okay? FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, which means if it's a public record or some other types of records sometimes, you can file this, especially the press, or really anyone, an individual can file them, advocacy groups that claim they're advocacy groups anyway, are constantly filing FOIA requests. I used to have to file them with the Federal Trade Commission. But long story short, then a judge reviews your request, and if it's appropriate, you get the document. So you guys at radaronline.com filed the FOIA request. Okay, then what happened?
So then the Weld County District Attorney is releasing these things. They're releasing them to us, and the videos are shocking. I don't know I've watched you for years in covering things. These are some really intense crime videos. This is exactly what the police used to help talk to Chris and to have him finally confess.
Why?
To the
murder. Are you on a first name basis with him? What, have y'all gone out and had high tea at the plaza? Chris, are you talking about killer dad Chris Watts?
I am.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you two were tight, but go ahead. What, are you and Chris and Nicole hanging out at the Sonic or something? What?
Yeah, I am maybe one of the only women that he did not cheat on his wife with.
I'm with you on that. So what did you, you filed the FOIA request, you get the neighbor surveillance video. What does it show?
So what it shows is Chris is watching what happens. And, so it's from the neighbor's front door, and you can see the Watts house. So you don't actually see her come home. What you see is Chris backing up his truck, and he backs it into the driveway. And then you see him move in and out and in and out and in and out. And what you can't tell is what he specifically has. But what we learned is what he has is he has his wife's body. He has his daughter Celeste's body, and he has his daughter Bella's body, and he's putting all of the bodies into the truck. And then he drives away with the truck. He doesn't even look concerned. He's not looking around to make sure nobody's looking at him. He's not hurrying. He's not dropping things. He's not hysterical. He is so calm and methodical, just as if he was loading his lunchbox in the car.
And then after that, we find out
dry cleaning.
We find out, Alexis Tereshchuk, radaronline.com, that after that he goes out and has a breakfast roll, just chillaxes. I wish I had time to go get a breakfast roll. But this is after he's just loaded his wife and two little girls' body into the vehicle and buries his wife in a shallow grave, dumps his two little girls in vats of oil where he works at Anadarko. Alexis, I also learned, and I'm trying to confirm this, that the two little girls' bodies had to be transported in two separate airplanes because they were deemed, they were so full of oil and so, had soaked up so much oil, they were actually combustible. Do you know that?
I have heard that that is the case, and I have heard, and I don't,
I don't know
if your readers are prepared. My readers were so shocked to know, and I don't know if you know this, when those little girls were brought out of that tank, they'd been in there for 3 days, they had skin slippage, which meant that, so they grabbed the little girl's arm to pull her out of the oil tank, and her hand, her skin came off her hand. This little girl's body was nothing after her father shoved her through an 8-inch hole. One of them had scratches on her behind, and there was a tuft of blonde hair that was stuck in the entrance of this oil tank when her dad shoved her in there.
Alexis, I did not know that. And I hardly even know how to respond to that. You're saying the oil tanker container opening was 8 inches in circumference?
Yep, that's it. 8 inches.
So we had to shove their bodies in an opening that was 8 inches wide?
And the police even said to him, they said, you know, at the smallest part of these girls, they were maybe 9 inches. And he said, yeah, they fit in there. And they said, did you have to shove them in there? He said, no, not at all. But he was lying, as he lied the entire time, because his daughter's body had scraped all down the side on her bottom, because when he shoved her in there, she scraped against the side of it.
Oh, man. You know, Alexis, I remember like it was yesterday when you had your baby boy and you were with me, talked all the time when I was pregnant and about to give birth to the twins. I cannot even imagine. It just really has thrown me off. I didn't know that fact you just told me. In fact, it's completely thrown me off. What was I asking you before you told me that? I was asking about the two separate flights for the girls because they had, their bodies had, you know, soaked up so much oil. I'm still waiting to confirm that.
My daddy is a hero. He helped me grow up strong. He helped me snuggle too. He reads me books. He ties my shoes. If you're a hero, blue and blue, my daddy, daddy, I love you.
Oh, I love.
You are hearing the daughters, Bella and Celeste. Beautiful little girls whose bodies were recovered out of oil tankers after Dad Chris Watts murdered them following the strangulation death of his wife, Shanann. In the last hours, we are learning so much more. And what I don't understand is why this guy was allowed to take a plea instead of going for the death penalty. Now, that was a family decision, but I guarantee you guys, we all know how it works. The family is guided by the prosecution. So whatever the prosecution thought, they thought it was a safe way to not seek the death penalty in this case. Joining me right now, crimeonline.com, Ellen Killoran, Vincent Hill, PI, author of Playbook to a Murder, and creator of Fall of a Titan podcast, Susan Constantine, world-renowned deception and body language expert, and just joining us with the breaking news, Alexis Terezchuk with RadarOnline.com. Now, a lot of what we are hearing is from a podcast. Well, portions of what we are hearing is from a podcast and yet to be confirmed. The taking two flights with two separate bodies and the way the children were put into that oil tanker and the size of the opening of the tanker being just 8 inches. We have not yet confirmed and are trying to confirm that. But Alexis Terezchuk, RadarOnline.com, you have confirmed so much, including not just the girlfriend we've been listening to, Nicole Kessinger, but also some other woman who played these kinky sex games with killer dad Chris Watts.
We have confirmed there was a second mistress, a woman named Amanda, and her name was secret all during.
Okay, hold on just one moment. I hate to interrupt you, but let me go to my partner in crime. Joining me out in L.A., Alan Duke. Alan, what's wrong with men? Just a question. Vincent, don't worry. Don't hide, because I'm coming to you next. I mean, it's just as my son has created another word, cringy. He's got this gorgeous wife, this beautiful home, two daughters, a son on the way. He's got Nicole Kessinger looking for apartments for him and searching wedding dresses and weird sex acts online. Now there's another woman? What?
You know, women do this too, so it's not just men.
Yeah, right. Look, they are not here. Look, they are not here. I know what that's about.
Don't blame the male species. It's
all right, fine, whatever.
Blame the devil.
Okay. Thanks for that insight. Back to you, Alexis Tereshchuk. Let me get down to the facts. So there's, how did he even have time to work, have a wife, the children, the home, the cutting the grass, the blah, 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 and two women on the side? It's like he's ordering side dishes for the table. Yeah, I'll have the sweet potato fries on the side for the table. I mean, he's just got, how did he do it?
He managed his time very well. His wife travels for work.
Wait. He's an expert at time management. Thank you, Alexis. I haven't been able to laugh in some for at least the last hour. Thank you for that. He's an expert at time management. Quote, Alexis Tereshchuk, RadarOnline.com. I'm sure they're so proud of you right now. Go ahead, Alexis.
Well, you know, his wife took their children to visit. Both of their parents live in North Carolina. So she went for 6 weeks in the summer with her girls when they were out of school to stay with his parents and her parents for a vacation. And that is when he went wild. He was like a bachelor. Even his friends had joked with him. And this was all in the police report that the county has released. The friends sent him a text and said, how was your life as a bachelor? And he lied to his friends. He said, oh, you know, I'm just working out. I'm not doing anything else. He wasn't working out.
Working out. I can make a lot of crude jokes right now, but I'm not. I'm not going to do it. Hold on. EK, Ellen Kalorna wants in. She's got some news. CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. What do you know, Ellen?
Well, I just wanted to note that we can confirm that the opening to the tanks that Chris Watts stuffed his daughters into was only 8 inches wide. Even after he had told investigators where he had disposed of their bodies, they just almost didn't believe him. They kept asking him over and over again, are you sure? Are you sure? How did that work? Because these openings were so, so tiny. And I agree with Alexis. He is lying if he says that he was able to do that easily.
Alexis, what can you tell me about him going over to the neighbors after they've spotted this video? First of all, were the neighbors across the street or catty-cornered to him? And didn't he go over and start explaining what all he had loaded into his car?
He did. He went. Chris was the most prolific chatterbox during this whole 3 days when his wife was missing. So yeah, so he goes next door to his neighbors and he tells them, because he sees the video and he realizes, I suppose in his mind, I need to justify this way, but he says,
wait a minute, he sees the video. Did you just say he sees the video? Why did he see the video?
They show it to him because he's pretending to look for Shanann, and he's pretending that she left the house, and he wants to know what happened. Where was she? Who came and got her? She leave with the girls. And instead, it doesn't show that at all. All it shows is him in the truck.
RadarOnline.com, killer dad Chris Watts watches the neighbor surveillance video just hours before his arrest. He was sweating and panicked and tried to explain his actions, according to Alexis Tereshchuk. Susan Constantine with me, deception and body language expert. Susan Constantine, I would think it was the oddest thing in the world. I know my neighbors. I know them. But I've never had them come to the door and start explaining to me what all, and do it not once, twice, but three times, what they were loading into their car. Why?
Well, they thought something was suspicious because you know your neighbors and their normal behavior, right? So we know what they normally do on a daily basis. And when you see something out of sync, out of norm, you're going to question what that was. So if they saw him sweating, showing a lot of anxiety, going back and forth is showing that there's something, an activity that's happening at that moment that was different from his norm. And they were questioning it because it was off his baseline.
Clear, the reason he kept saying he was loading this, that, and the other is because he knew eventually
police were going to talk to the neighbors. So they would come out and say, well, yeah, he told me he was loading a box or a blanket or whatever. That's exactly why he did that, Nancy, to go ahead and set that mindset in his neighbors to tell police exactly what he told them.
I think jumping into a new relationship is a little quick. It's like, I was in a relationship earlier this year, and I think this is also a little quick. And I'm like, so why don't we take our time? And I'm like, if you guys end up doing a week on, a week off with your kids, I'm like, the week you have your kids, be with your children. And the week that you don't, I'm like, I don't even want to see you every day. I'm like, I think we should spend like a few days of that together. I'm like, because I like my space and I think you need your space. I think you need your space to like develop your identity again and like get it back, because I think he's just been like so wrapped up in this whole thing that he's got in his own life and his life that he, I mean, he doesn't remember probably what it's like to like be single or have time where it's like just him. Sure. And so I was just like, you know, like embrace that. It's a beautiful thing. And I really try to like take it smart with all that. And it was the same thing with his kids. I was just like, you know, like, and I, and we talk about things every once in a while where I, you know, I'd be like, hey, if I ever meet, you know, cause like I have a lot of house plants. That's a good example. So I have a lot of house plants, and I told him, I was like, one day, if I ever meet your kids, I was like, I'm going to show these girls how to like paint pottery and plants. I was like, I think they would love to see something grow that they build. I think it would be really, really cute. And like little stuff like that, but it wasn't very frequent. It wasn't, hey, we should get married, and hey, we should have babies, and hey, I want to live with you, and hey, I need to meet your children now, and let's cut the mom out. It was never like that.
There was never any conversation about, you know, we can't do this with her around, we can't do this with the kids around. No. He never said that. You never said that.
No.
Yeah, maybe they didn't talk about the marriage and the moving in because there was a problem. His wife, Shanann, the pregnant wife. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us with part two of a special look at killer dad Chris Watts. Man, joining me right now, Ellen Kaloran, crimeonline.com, Vincent Hill, private investigator, author, playbook to a murder, Susan Constantine, deception and body language expert, and joining me right now, Alexis Tereshchuk, radaronline.com, investigative reporter, who's just broken two new aspects of these murders. You know, I'm listening to the girlfriend, Nicole Kessinger. Were these statements, Alexis Tereshchuk, before or after the bodies were found?
Before.
Okay, so she didn't yet know that the wife and the children were dead. Okay, that alleviates some of this, because I was wondering how could she talk about all that when the bodies had just been recovered. You know, another aspect to this is police were listening to her, but they were probably also looking at her as a potential person of interest. Potential. She did not have anything to do with these murders. Let's just be clear about that. So the wife and the children at this point are missing, and she's just talking as fast as she can. She conveniently left out the search for wedding dresses. Do people, quote, hate Amber Fry, who was Scott Peterson's mistress when Lacey, his pregnant wife, was murdered? How to prepare for anal sex. Oh, let's see. There's just so many to choose from. I don't really know what to pick first. Alexis Tereshchuk, I doubt pretty seriously she knew his plan to murder his wife and children, or that he had another mistress. You guys have broken a lot in the last hours at RadarOnline.com, so bring us up to date, Alexis Tereshchuk.
So I don't think she did know that he had another mistress. There was a woman named Amanda, and we secretly interviewed her before her name became public. And she told us that she met Chris on a dating app. They had a really dirty one-night stand. She said that he wanted to do a rape fantasy, that he choked her out while they had sex, and she loved
it. Wait. In the rape fantasy, was he the victim or was she the victim?
She was the victim. So he was the one that was raping her in their sex fantasy that was consensual, she said.
All that rage, all that hate towards women. Okay, go ahead.
And she said that she had a really good time with it. She thought he was really attractive, and it was a really sexy one-night stand. So yeah, so he started cheating on his pregnant wife, basically the same minute she got pregnant. And then he moved on to not just cheating on her, but having a full-blown relationship and a woman who thought they were going to get married. This is somebody who he FaceTimed with this mistress. He killed his wife and children.
Wait, why are you acting so indignant that the mistress thought they were going to get married? The mistress knew he was already married.
I guess, and she thought he was a marrying type, that he would just bounce back from one and marry her again. And so the night that the women went missing, the first night, the daughters and his wife, he sat on his bed, his unmade bed, in his bedroom, on his phone, his iPhone, and FaceTimed with her so she could see. He said he was in the bed where his wife had most likely died, and that he was just chatting with her. She said he was staring at her very intently, and he wasn't crying about his children missing or his wife missing. He was just carrying on like a flirty conversation with her, knowing that his wife was, he had killed his wife and his daughters in that very house within the last 24 hours.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that people worry about Alexis, let me be clear, worry about how the mistress was hurt. You know, to hay with the mistress, she knew full well he was married with children. Although I don't think she knew the wife was pregnant. Vincent Hill, private investigator, author of Playbook to Murder. So often the defense will be, and I remember Mark Garagos, who never agree with him, but he is a good defense lawyer, would always say, an adulterer does not a murderer make. And that's true. Just because you're having an affair does not mean you're going to commit murder. But in domestic homicides, very often you will find when the wife is murdered by the husband, there has been an affair. So the converse to me is true. Very often in domestic homicides, you will find the killer is an adulterer. True, adulterer doesn't mean a killer necessarily, but the reverse may very well be true, Vincent Hill. They had to know they were going to dig up at least one mistress, Vincent.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank God, you know, if you're an adulterer, it doesn't make you a killer, because I'd be dead right now. You know, I'm on my second marriage. But, you know, I think what's very disturbing.
You do notice that none of the women on the panel are laughing, but go ahead. Go ahead and laugh to yourself. Go ahead.
The truth. Because
I tell you what, after all I've been through trying to have these children and raise these children, I would have, oh my goodness, I don't even know what I would do if I found out my husband was cheating.
Anyway, that's a whole other can of worms. But go ahead. What's really disturbing, Nancy, is I think with this other mistress that he met on Tinder or whatever dating website it was, the fact that he wanted to play out this rape fantasy and strangle her, I think he was kind of setting the tone of what he was going to do with his wife. And I wouldn't be surprised if more women came forward at a later time, whether it's from 10 years ago, and say, yeah, he'd like to choke or strangle or something like that. So I think all the signs were there this whole time. And luckily for this other mistress, I think she got out kind of lucky, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? You're right. You're right. And again, although we're giving her a hard time, she is in no way implicated in his murderous plan. As a matter of fact, listen to girlfriend Nicole Kessinger.
You know, it wasn't fair to his family for him to have an affair. It wasn't fair to me to have him lie to me and make me think that everything is to plan. And still to this day, I don't even know what's a lie and what's not. I don't even know if they were like filing for divorce. I don't know if they were putting the house up. I don't even know anymore what is real and what is not. But what I do know is it's just like, you know, that wasn't fair to me either, because if I'd have known not even all the truth, but like obviously some of it, I wouldn't have even engaged in any of this in the first place. And it just, I mean, and that's the part for me, just like on my personal level, outside of everything that is happening, that is gonna affect me long term. It's like, you know, I'm gonna wake up every day and know that like this mom and her unborn child and these two little girls are not around anymore, and it breaks my heart. It is so, oh my God. And then I have to think about like the consequences of his actions and how they affect everybody else. Like all of these, her family's impacted. My name is about to be like slandered for probably a while. I don't know how long it's going to take to heal, but I would not be surprised if it's going to be hard to go out in public sometimes for a couple of years. And that really hurts me. I'm just like, this is a horrible, horrible thing. Like, how dare you, you know? And people aren't going to understand that. You know, they're going to say, oh, you know, you're the woman that had an affair with this man who took out his whole family. And I take a step back and it's just like, I didn't
Like, he's so disgusting. I'm so ashamed of him and everything, and I just... Oh, those little girls. They're so little. They're so little. And that's the part for me, just like on my personal level, outside of everything that is happening, that is gonna affect me long term. It's like, you know, I'm gonna wake up every day and know that like this mom and her unborn child and these two little girls are not around anymore, and it breaks my heart. It is so, oh my God. And then I have to think about like the consequences of his actions and how they affect everybody else. Like all of these, her family's impacted. My name is about to be like slandered for probably a while. I don't know how long it's going to take to heal, but I would not be surprised if it's going to be hard to go out in public sometimes for a couple of years. And that really hurts me. I'm just like, this is a horrible, horrible thing. Like, how dare you, you know? And people aren't going to understand that. You know, they're going to say, oh, you know, you're the woman that had an affair with this man who took out his whole family.
Hold on just a moment. Alexis Tereshchuk, RadarOnline.com. You told me that this statement from the mistress, Nicole Kessinger, was before they knew Shanann and the two children were dead. She clearly knows that they're dead. She just said he took out his wife and two little girls.
That everyone is missing, and this is what she went in. She volunteered. She called the police herself when the girls went missing after the first night where I said they FaceTimed, and she saw that the house, that bed had no sheets on it, and he was acting really strange. She called the police, but they never surfaced again. Everybody knew that they were all missing. And so she finally realized.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that this is after they go missing, they're believed dead at his hands. He's a suspect, but the bodies haven't been found yet.
Correct.
Okay. To Susan Constantine, deception body language expert. Susan, the crying and the whatever, I couldn't even make out what she was. It's kind of like a squeak at the end. The reality is she did not commit the murders. Okay. That was not her plan. She was not involved in it at all. But it seems a little disingenuous to be talking about how her name is going to be slandered. When you sign up to date a married man, what do you think is going to happen when people find out? They're not going
to
like it.
Yeah, that's the one thing that stuck out to me too, Nancy, was that she was kind of bringing attention more to herself, like how this is going to affect me in the future, how people are going to see her in the future. And she may have to be, you know, inside for a couple of years because of this whole thing that this man has taken out his family. So, you know, the attention is on the wrong person. Why is the attention on her and not about the kids? I just find that to be really odd, but it's a very selfish person. But the act in itself, everything about her was very self-serving and selfish anyway, being involved with a married man. He wasn't divorced yet.
I mean, Vincent Hill, when will people ever learn? This is not just about men, although I'm having a good time, you know, jibing at you and Alan. Vincent Hill, come on, you leave a trail a mile wide when you have lovers and then your spouse ends up dead. I mean, even without girlfriends or boyfriends or lovers or mistresses, they always look at the spouse first, the girlfriend, the boyfriend first, the lover first. But then when mistresses start cropping up, not one, but two, including one that you play out volatile and angry sex role playing with, that doesn't look good when your wife is missing. Why, Vincent?
Yeah, I don't know why people just can't get it right, Nancy, to your point, because, you know, anytime you're investigating the death of a spouse, the other spouse is the first person police look at. And then you add in, you know, violent sex playouts and another mistress with text messages about anal sex and everything else. Then, of course, that's where investigators are going to look. And you had the other mistress say, oh, I went there and the sheets were off the bed, so I knew something was wrong. I mean, this guy wasn't the brightest bulb in the light shed, per se, to do what he did and to take the mistress to his house after they went missing. That is just stupid.
Well, what about his deception? and whether Shanann knew, had the instinct that he was cheating, because I feel like he got it over on everybody in escaping the death penalty. I think he deceived the prosecutors, the court, everybody in this case. What about it, too? Ellen Kaloran, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter.
Well, it is really just amazing how often this and to how many people Chris Watts lied. Even after investigators told him point blank, you failed this polygraph test, we know you're lying, he still continued to lie and deny that he had anything to do with why his family was missing. He was able to convince his girlfriend that his marriage was on its way to a divorce and that his wife was on board with that, which we know now is not true. But he was not able to convince Shanann that he wasn't being unfaithful. She knew towards the very end of her life, she knew in her gut that something wasn't right. She had seen a credit card receipt from that Saturday night that he claimed to be at a Colorado Rockies game. He wasn't. He was out at a dinner with his girlfriend, and she got an alert of the charge of that credit card, and it was way too much for one person. So she knew, and he even admitted later that he knew that she knew, and he still continued to deny and deny and deny any affair.
Nancy, the spouse always.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Nancy. One thing, when I was doing PI cases, and people would say, I think my spouse is cheating on me. The spouse always knows. There's something that changes in their behavior, their spending pattern, the way they talk to you. So, yeah, no doubt Miss Watts knew exactly what her husband Chris was doing.
Now we learn that Chris Watts, the killer dad, actually Googled, quote, when to say I love you when starting a new relationship. This was weeks before he murdered his wife and children. During his affair, he Googles when to say I love you for the first time in a new relationship. On that same day, he Googled, what do you feel when someone tells you they love you? And how does it feel when someone says, I love you? This is all while he's married with a wife pregnant with their first son, already have two little girls. For almost the whole summer before she was killed, Shanann was in North Carolina on and off visiting her parents, and she was still working at her job. That is when we believe much of the affair began. Their marriage began to crumble, and Shanann was desperately trying to salvage their marriage. So what does that say to you, Alexis Terezchuk? That before her husband murdered her, she was pleading with him to stop, quote, living the bachelor life. She knew he was, quote, living the bachelor life. What is that?
Well, because she was gone with their children, staying at his parents' house and her parents' house, he was acting like a single guy. He was going out to baseball games with friends, and he had no responsibility. He didn't have children to take care of in the morning or in the middle of the night or drive them to the swimming pool or to the beach or anything. He was just doing exactly what he wanted to do with no responsibilities. And she was devastated by this. She was in a panic. She kept sending him self-help books, things to repair their relationship, begging him, telling him she missed their closeness and how much she loved him and how she wanted to work things out with him. Meanwhile, he was just having sex with this other lady and then likely plotting to kill her and to get her and the girls out of the way.
And the whole time texting her, Alexis, texting her that Shanann, that he loved her and he was sorry and they would work everything out, but he had another pot on the fire. Listen to the girlfriend, Nicole Kessinger.
Your relationship with Chris was, can you describe your relationship?
I mean, when he was with me, I considered it to be fairly healthy. It was open communication. And it was what I thought was honest. And it was very calm. It was respectful. We got along really well. He gave me my space when I needed it. I gave him his. And anytime, like, he wanted to take care of it, like, anytime that his kids could be in, like, his life for hours or days or whatever, whenever they were home, I made sure that I wasn't a presence in his life.
so that he could be the best dad that he needed to be. And I mean, I thought what we had, it was very comfortable for me. I enjoyed it. I think he did very much as well.
You guys, 6, 8 weeks, 2 months, whatever it was, you guys had an intimate relationship during that time.
Yes.
Okay. So you're pretty serious. Did he ever tell you that he loved you?
Yes, he did.
Did you ever tell him the same?
A couple times. Okay. I'm still in shock that this whole thing happened. That's why I gave him the benefit of the doubt for the first day, because I was just like, no way. Like, I didn't even think about that. I mean, murder was not on the top of my mind when somebody doesn't come home for an evening, especially if they just, like, had some sort of, like, heated conversation. It's like, okay, you guys are separating, you have a heated conversation, you leave for a night. Like, I didn't even think this guy killed his wife. I mean, that like, murder is not something on the top of my mind when I call one of my friends for 3 or 4 hours and she doesn't answer the phone. Like, that doesn't even process to me as, like, a real thing that is a possibility at that point. And so that's why I gave it a day. And then the second day I was talking to him, he was just, like, a hot mess, I could tell. And then with the way he was talking to me, and then that's kind of when I cut him off and I stopped talking to him.
Joining me, Ellen Kaloran, CrimeOnline.com, investigative reporter Vincent Hill, private investigator and author Susan Constantine, deception body language expert, and joining me right now, Alexis Terezchuk, journalist with RadarOnline.com. Alexis, so much is breaking right now, and this is after the family was essentially talked out of seeking the death penalty. What more are you learning?
You know, about the death penalty, I feel like, you know, Chris kept saying from the beginning that Shanann had killed his daughter, and he found her on top of the little girl and strangling her, and that's when he threw her off and killed her because the girl was dead. But, you know, the police asked him, they said, well, did you try to revive your daughter? He said, no. They said, did you do any CPR? He said, no, even though he'd had CPR training very recently through work. And so he was such an expert. His parents, as I suppose any parent loves their child, really believed that the wife killed these girls and that he was just taking a covering up for her and really was taking a bullet for her instead. And that's why that perhaps they didn't see the death penalty, because they were afraid that a jury would believe that too, because that was going to be his defense, that he only killed his wife, that he wouldn't kill those girls.
Alexis, get a hold of yourself. What are you talking about? Afraid the jury would believe it too? What? No jury in their right mind would believe something like that. But are you telling me that's why they waffled and they taught the family into not seeking the death penalty?
Yes. And that because his parents so adamantly believed it, and even after he pleaded guilty, he said, I killed them all, his parents said this wasn't true. He was coerced into doing it about the girls because he didn't kill the girls. He only killed his wife and not the girls.
Why now? Why are you guys coming out now to speak with us?
Because we didn't know about the plea deal.
This is Ronnie and Cindy Watts, the parents of Christopher Watts, the man who pleaded guilty to killing his pregnant wife, Shanann, and his two children, Bella and Celeste.
We were not allowed to talk to him about it.
They're frustrated because they say his attorneys wouldn't let them ask him anything about the case before the plea.
I asked Chris, if you did not do this, do not confess to something you didn't do, and she shut me down. She completely shut me down.
And just like everyone else, his parents have a lot of questions after he confessed to killing Shanann, claiming he saw her strangle one of the kids.
He said, I'm sorry, I went into a rage and I killed her. And he said, I am so sorry. He says, I've ruined your life. I've ruined my life.
Well, he told me, he said, Dad, I could not put the girls with her after what she did. He said, I could not put them with her.
And so instead of putting the girls with her, he decided to put them into
the oil tank, which I still don't understand.
I don't understand that either. He's not a sociopath. He's not a psychopath.
A question his parents have is, what was the trigger to cause all this to happen? Something I asked when I interviewed him when she was reported missing.
Did you guys get into an argument before?
It wasn't like an argument. We had an emotional conversation, but I'll leave it at that.
Because she was leaving him or he was leaving her?
He was leaving her.
He just said he wasn't in love with her anymore, he said.
Because both Shanann's family and Chris's family are in pain, his parents just want the truth about what happened.
if this actually happened like they're saying that it did, that he killed them, then what was the trigger?
There you are hearing from Denver 7, Chris Watts's family defending him, claiming that Shanann Watts's wife actually murdered their children. To Susan Constantine, deception and body language expert, weigh in on that scenario.
Yeah, when I'm listening to what she's saying, you know, it reminds me of Cindy Anthony, you know, when she went to bat for her own daughter. And they are delusional. They just cannot believe that their own child is capable of being a sociopath or a psychopath. Well, guess what? He is, and he was, and he always will be. And you didn't see the signs because you chose not to see it. You looked at him through a blind eye.
Following up on his story, take a listen to Chris Watts in video that we have obtained off his confession, telling his dad how he heard a, quote, commotion upstairs, and goes up there to find his pregnant wife, Shanann, smothering one of the daughters.
She freaked out over the separation room. I don't think
Chris Watts in video that we have obtained off his confession. And then you hear Chris Watts continuing to give investigators information regarding the so-called burial of his family. Listen.
I told you that we've done some work overnight. Yes. I told you that we've got a lot of leads. Okay. That wasn't a lie.
I know.
We know a lot more than you think we do. Okay. And here's where we're confused. You're this great guy. I'm not just telling you that, okay? I'm telling you that because everyone tells us that, okay? We can't find anyone to say anything bad about you. Chris is a great guy. He's a good father. He's a good man. We're confused as to why you're not taking care of your beautiful children.
I'm not taking care of them right now?
Right now. Where are they?
I don't know where they're at. I do not know where they are at. If I could have my babies back home right now, I would. I want them back. I want everybody back. That is the God's honest truth.
That may be the only thing Killer Dad Chris Watts was telling the truth about. He did want his wife and children back so he wouldn't go to jail for life or worse, look down the wrong end of the barrel at the death penalty. You are hearing Chris Watts with investigators describing, still claiming his wife and children, he had no idea where they were the whole time, to Alexis Tereshchuk. He knew he had killed all three and forced the girls' bodies into tankers whose openings were just 8 inches wide. And we heard him a few moments ago describing that, putting his daughters down these pipes, essentially, without shedding a tear. Alexis, what can you tell me about him looking at real estate? And Alexis, I'm reading some of her texts, and all of these texts and videos are in the state's file. She says, I can handle not having your help with the girls. That's exhausting, but I miss the smell of you. You touching me when I'm cooking me, holding you, snuggling with you, eating with you, watching TV with you. I miss staring at you. I miss everything about you. I can't wait to hold you, to kiss you, to smell you, to laugh with you, to celebrate 8 years with you. If you're done and you don't love me, you don't want to work this out, not happy anymore, only staying because of kids, I need you to tell me, would you stay with me if we didn't have kids? And she goes on, Alexis, I just don't get it. You don't fall out of love in 5 weeks. How can you sleep? Our marriage is crumbling in front of us and you can sleep? All of this is happening just before her murder. Now, Chris Watts then seeks out a realtor. Explain, Alexis Tereshchuk.
So they had major financial troubles, but while both of them were working, they were really strapped for cash. Their daughter's school, their private school, cost $25,000 a year. It was really expensive for them. So they decided actually together to maybe sell the house. So Shanann actually reached out to the real estate agent first. She said, we would like to put the house in. She did it through her Facebook page. And then Chris killed her. So she was no longer around. Then Chris reached out to the real estate agent. And the real estate agent thought that was so weird because she had helped them buy the house a few years earlier. She had never, ever once dealt with Chris. So he's killed his wife, he's killed his babies, and he goes ahead and calls the real estate lady and says, yeah, we definitely still want to sell this house. And she sounded the alarm.
That's before the bodies were found and they were, quote, just missing.
Hours after he had killed them, when nobody even knew that they were missing, when he had already dumped their bodies out in this, you know, abandoned old oil well and out in the middle of nowhere. And then he contacts the real estate lady and says, yeah, go ahead, we definitely want to do this. And so she kept texting Chris and Shanann because she said she'd never dealt with Chris before and she didn't hear anything from her and she thought that was so strange. And then he replied too and said, oh yeah, yeah, go ahead and sell the house. It's just living in a completely parallel universe that he could go ahead and sell this house and it'd be fine, even though he'd killed his wife and daughters in it hours earlier.
You know, Susan Constantine, you're the deception and body language expert. I'm looking at video of him right now at a convenience store right after he murders his wife. He's just calm and cool. And we're getting this from the Colorado Weld County District Attorney's Office. And he stops to get breakfast and goes in there. I'm looking at the surveillance video at a Colorado convenience store. It's 8 a.m. in the morning. And he's just chatting up the female cashier. He's wearing his orange t-shirt with sunglasses perched on top of his baseball cap. He takes his change, he puts it in his wallet before walking away from the counter. He's just totally chill, calm, cool, collected. You'd never know he just dumped the bodies of his little girl, 4-year-old Bella, and 3-year-old Celeste in an oil tank and buried his pregnant wife in a shallow grave out in a crude oil field. I mean, and you hear just after that, he's on the phone with the realtor trying to sell the house, Susan.
Yeah, you know, I think Scott Peterson did the same thing. He put his house up for sale right afterwards. So, you know, that chill in the air that he has, you know, you often hear about other murderers that have done the same thing. They may have killed somebody and they turn around, they go to Dunkin' Donuts or, you know, to Wendy's to go stop and get a hamburger. They've released it. So they actually feel free. So they've released themselves from all that anxiety they had. The person is dead and they feel good about it. So they have no remorse. Remember, Nancy, this is a sociopath. He's a psychopath. He has no emotion and he doesn't have any concern about other people. So it's pretty easy for him not to have any remorse because he has none. He has no soul.
It's almost like he's a teenager. To Ellen Killoran, CrimeOnline.com reporter, it's like a teenage boy just running or a kid in a candy shop just playing out every sick sex fantasy with every woman that will have anything to do with him, chasing every skirt he sees. You've got the one mistress looking up wedding dresses online, but I'm still confused about her computer search for Amber Fry, because Amber Fry was the mistress in the Scott Peterson murder case. I'm thinking about that. She is not a suspect. She's not a person of interest. She cooperated with police, this woman, Nicole Kessinger. But what about Ellen Killoran? And also, what can you tell me about the photo of a doll creepily covered up with a sheet as if the doll is dead that Chris Watts texted?
Yes, as you said, Nancy, he's running around like a teenager, like he has no responsibilities, like he's living in this fantasy world. And he's only dating this mistress who he fell in love with and apparently wanted to start a new life with for less than 2 months. The affair was only about 6 weeks. Most of it happened while his family was away in North Carolina. But he's completely ignoring them. You know, Shannon is texting him all the time. And he's ignoring, you see in the discovery documents that were released that showed the text messages, he's ignoring his wife who's patiently trying to talk to him about their family and her pregnancy and issues she's having with the in-laws. He's ignoring her text messages, but he's talking to the mistress. It's as though a switch went off and suddenly his family didn't matter anymore. So getting back to the interrogation, I do think that we should note that Chris Watts continued to lie after he knew he failed the polygraph test. The interrogators, they suggested the story to him about Shannon maybe having hurt the girls before he talks to his dad. So you can look at this.
Oh, so he latches on to that.
You can look at it a number of different ways, but you'll note that in the chronology of it,
right,
it was after they make that suggestion that he talks to his dad and he tells his dad exactly what they suggested to him. And I do not think they believe that was the truth ever. But after he talks to his dad does believe it's the truth. He does believe his son.
And speaking of the girls, Bella and Celeste, take a listen to this.
My daddy is a hero. He helps me grow up strong. He helped me snuggle too. He reads me books. He ties my shoes. If you're a hero, blue and blue, my daddy is love you.
Chris Watts, Rot in Hell. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.